I want to know who else you want to fire. Like, who else's life you want to upend?
The hell was in that booster?
Chaos. You're coming in. You know who else sucks? You know who else needs to get fired? You know who else is a bum? These guys. I like it. You should get the shot every Friday, Al. So by the time we get to Monday, you're just coming out smoking. I'm here for this. This is my favorite version of Al.
That was an amazing sports weekend, and I think those questions. By the way, I don't think I'm the only one sitting up here and saying that. The guy made decisions that cost his squad a chance again to the playoffs. Now you lose your job.
It's a really good start to get fired. Works. That's for sure. That is a team that should be in the playoffs, and they're not. Do I look different?
Yeah.
Do I have like a certain aura, a swagger, a presence that 100%.
You're sensing? 100%. Swag is the word that I would use.
Are you picking up on that? You know, we're obviously working remotely again,
yep.
But can you catch it through the Zoom, just my new position in life?
No, I mean, you didn't even have to say anything. Once we started the prep call today, I'm like, damn, look at this guy. Looks like something's changed in his life. Something's definitely changed.
Yeah, so I mentioned to you last week that I now fix things around the house. I'm basically a handyman. If anybody needs any help with anything, you can just call me. I successfully executed a bottle of glue on my threshold of my front door, so I'm Bob Vila. All of a sudden, I can fix anything and everything. And on top of that, on Saturday, my friends at Rotolo, they hooked me up with a Chevy Silverado. So now I'm driving around in a giant pickup truck. I know how to fix things. I'm a man now, Slee. I don't know if you know that about me, but you need to treat me with more respect.
If you and I were, you know, let's say we're having a disagreement on the show and you started staring into my eyes, I would immediately look down because I know that you have been to Home Depot recently.
Yep.
Okay. That's number one. You bought glue there and Skittles. Okay.
It was going to be a Milky Way. I abstained, but I did look at it.
And number two, you drive a truck. Not
a
just any truck,
Silverado.
A Chevy Silverado from Rotolo Chevrolet. So I think with all that being said, I'm not – you cut me off on the freeway, I'm looking the other way. I am not trying to get into any type of argument with someone like you.
I've already got
I'm
the
profiling
thing
you.
Where I lean on the center console, so I just I've got it figured out. I am all business right now. Bonus.
Yeah, but I could see you. By the way, I could see you kind of leaning, and then you actually turn the car on, and then you get a little nervous, and you scoot your chair up. Why is his head hitting the top?
I couldn't. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's head wouldn't hit the top of this truck. It's gigantic. Mm. It's the most comfortable thing I've ever driven in my life. I absolutely love it. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. A little bonus Ask Slee from Jason Torres. When Big Al sings Happy Birthday, does he always add, and many more, at the end of the song?
I don't think I do. I really want to. I really want to say yes.
You should start.
Okay, what is it where they say, you're not one, you're not two? What is it? Like,
I don't know that one. Give me more. I just know the traditional happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Alan, and many more. That's the only one.
I don't know it off the top of my head. So, Emily, Taylor, if you guys know what I'm talking about.
What, did you work in a restaurant where you do that happy, happy birthday, birthday, birthday you? Did you have that one going in the sleeve
of
the household or something?
No, but here's the thing. It's like, you know, my nieces, I think it's for a kids thing, but my nieces, you know, you're not one, you're not two, you're not three. And then, like, they just keep going. I'm like, are we doing this again this year, guys? We just did this last year. There's another 30 seconds. Just let's keep it moving here.
All right. I want to get to the Rams very quickly, but take a couple of phone calls here. People have been very patient. Let's go to HP through Fullerton and other places. John in Huntington Beach of Fullerton. What's going on, John?
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
First, I just want to give us kudos. An old high school buddy of mine texted me randomly. I didn't know he listened to our show, but he complimented how well you guys work together and how much he enjoys listening to the show. And Slee, you're going to like this. He called you sneaky funny, he thinks you're hilarious.
Can I stop right there? He's not sneaky funny. He's funny, full stop. Yeah. There's nothing sneaky about it. It's just funny.
And, Trav, since you're Mr. Fixer now,
what do you need?
Timely because I tried to fix my laundry drain, and I literally just got the eyes from the wife of failure. And so I wasn't able to fix it. I don't need Manuel and Gardena. I don't need his halitosis in my house. So if you could come over, that'd be great.
Yep. I'll be over there, say, around 3 o'clock today. Awesome. Does that work for you?
Sounds good. I'll DM the address. just a quick touch point on a couple things, Chargers, Raiders, and then the Mandy's. So the first thing with the Chargers, to answer Slee, no. The Chargers absolutely should not fire Staley. We need the Chargers to continue to Chargers every season. That was great. That was awesome. You guys know I'm a big MMA guy. I equate that Staley timeout to when I'm sparring. You know, you're going light, messing with the partner, you know, and all of a sudden he starts to get brave and hits you hard. That was last night. They hit him hard with the timeout, and they're like, okay, you want to go? And when I say I'm sparring, it's not really me. I'm just watching my kids spar. So,
perfect.
And about the Rams, I'm really looking forward to going to Dick's and getting, you know, I saw the Rams won the West champ shirt. I'm partial to the – we backed into the West shirt champion. I really like that shirt, so I'm going to pick that one up. And they say it's a brand-new season, though, right?
It is.
Would you agree?
Yes.
So, you know, being a longtime Rams fan since they got back and since they started winning, since they have a new season, that means they can get a new quarterback, right? That'd be great for the
Not
playoffs.
Not quite yet. That would be a little challenging, more challenging.
And then finally, you know, I noticed you glossed over TFP, my boy's question, and it applies to me as well, so I'm going to ask again. So do we need to prepare speeches for the Mandy's? Like, are we expecting awards? And how many speeches should we prepare?
Thanks, John. I would say you should have a couple of different versions of speeches available, both you and TFP and everyone else that's coming. You never know when you're going to get called.
Speak from the heart, bro. Just let it be on the spot. Speak from the heart. That's all you got to do.
Look, like John said, as a member of our show, he needs to be prepared to talk about these things at any time. All right, so he brought up something. The Rams did win the NFC West yesterday. Because Arizona lost, the Rams got the NFC West title. They will play a home game Monday night, week from tonight, at SoFi Stadium against the Cardinals, and it feels incredibly unsatisfying because of what happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. But here's the rub, Al. Here's what I know would be said about the Rams this morning if they would have won that game. Big deal, show me in the playoffs. I don't care what you did during the regular season. So instead of being, they would be 13-4, right? They're 12-5. Instead of they're 13-4. It would be, yeah, 13, if it's really good, congratulations, 13-4. Congratulations on winning the division. That's great. You get a couple of home games in the playoffs. But if you don't go to the Super Bowl, what did you really get? Because Jared Goff got you to the second round of the playoffs. Why is that not still true? That still feels very true to me, only you're kind of coming at it from a different spot. That instead of, yeah, show me, it's they still have an opportunity to go beat Arizona, to go to Green Bay in that second round, which is probably what would happen if everything goes according to seeds. It obviously can go a different way, but everything the Rams want, NFC Championship, Super Bowl appearance, it's still right in front of them.
So it is in front of them, but, you know, I've actually learned this from you. It's, well, how did you get there? How does it look? How does the process look to get in the position that you're in? Mm-hmm. I think there's more to read in between the line. You are right that it is in front of everybody. Hey, you know what? Let me just use this as an example, and I know this isn't a good comp, but the Pittsburgh Steelers are in the same position, right? You're in the playoffs, so what can you do once you're in? And, yes, the Rams are in the playoffs. Yeah, the Cardinals had an awful back half of the season or the last five games of the year, something along those lines. But I think how you got there tells a lot of the story. If you're the Rams right now, today, how many playoffs teams did the Rams beat to get into the playoffs?
Dose.
Two, right? They beat two of them. I think that tells a little bit of a story. I think yesterday that they went up 17-0, had a chance to beat the Niners for the first time in what, they've lost six in a row now against the Niners?
Correct.
Got a chance to beat the Niners and, you know, kind of put your chest out a little bit. We're not limping into the playoffs. No, we're walking in as one of the biggest, the baddest six games in a row.
Yes. If they'd beaten the Niners, yep. Guess how many playoff teams they would have beaten? Two.
Two.
Because the Niners wouldn't be in.
You're right.
The Niners would be out. Yep. It would still be two.
But how you get in there, Trav, I think does tell the story. And you know, I don't think we should take that lightly that they're not a number two seed. I think that is a big deal. I think the fact that now – you do have to face the Packers potentially in the second round in Lambeau after they get a week off. Let me just put it this way. Can they win that game? Yes, they can. I'm not saying that they can't, but it becomes a much bigger surprise if they won the game than if they lost the game. And this game you're talking about, this upcoming Monday against the Arizona Cardinals, Arizona's played bad football. Arizona's probably like, hey, you know what? We'll take our chances with the Rams as well. I think there's a little bit of that on both sides.
Look, I think you're right. I don't think that there's anything that makes you feel great about what the Rams are going to go do. But I also think that everything that you wanted, you got done. You had a winning record. You won your division. You have a playoff game at home. Are you have the exact seed you wanted? No. Can you still get to the NFC Championship game? Yes. Can you still go to the Super Bowl and win it? Yes. Now, do you feel great about it after? Look, yesterday was a bad loss, full stop. I'm not here to tell you that. That was a weird day yesterday. From the moment I started walking in, you know, let's do this. Let's take some more of these phone calls. We're going to come back. We'll take more of your phone calls. I want to tell a story.
Can we take these Brandon Staley calls too?
For sure, for sure. But there was there's something interesting happening on my way into the stadium yesterday before a single play had been run that made me go, huh. Tell you what it is next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Sleek, Chris, there you, that's me. Absolutely.
Can I tell you how much I love that Rotolo and Chevy Silverado is a part of the show? Like,
yes.
You know how good that is for the show?
It's fantastic.
That's such a fantastic, fantastic partner to have on here.
And it's good for Travis. Let's be most honest about these things. Me driving around feeling like I'm the king of the universe,
it's awesome.
Great. Let's just say that getting that thing in and out of a parking spot is different than the other cars I've driven in my life. I'm going to need some truck owners to kind of walk me through. I'm going to get used to this, right, to have this enormous, beautiful truck that I'm going to be able to get in and out of parking spots like it's a Honda Civic at some point.
Well, I thought trucks that size – there's different rules for it. So you know how AAA can just kind of pull up somewhere and just turn on the hazard lights? I thought that's what happens with trucks that size. It's just accepted that they can park in red, they can park in loading zones, all that other stuff.
Just let me know what you need, Al. I'm your truck guy. I can help you out with whatever you want. Chris is not the only one that says that booster did you some justice. Laz Versailles says on Twitter, Trav and Slee crushing it this morning. Slee's booster has made the show better. See? We're going to have to inject you with a vaccine booster.
When's the fourth shot?
Tomorrow.
Is that approved?
I like it. You came out a little spicy. It's fantastic. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Pet protection comes free with auto collision coverage. Visit progressive.com. Walking in to SoFi yesterday, I mentioned, I had that walk. It's about a 15-minute walk or so from Hollywood Park Casino into SoFi. And I get to SoFi about the same time as I always do. I usually park my car about 3 hours before kickoff. Okay, pregame show starts 2 hours before kickoff, so I have an hour to park, get where I need to be, set up, feel good, chit-chat, all that stuff. Usually, 3 hours before kickoff, there's a couple of parts of the parking lot, and they're full, and people are having a good time, they're tailgating, listening to music, having a few beers. It's great. When I pulled into the lot yesterday, there was a sea of 49er people everywhere. Mm-hmm. Everywhere. Walking in, 49er people everywhere. Now, there were a lot of Rams fans, too. Don't get me wrong. But this was the first time in 8 home games this season where it was, this is different. This isn't just Buck fans coming out to see Tom Brady. This isn't just, the Seattle Seahawks are division rival. You're going to have some of their fans.
Yep.
This was different. And I don't know what it looked like on TV, but in the stadium yesterday, Al, at SoFi, the Niner fans gave their team a lift. They had a real fan base there. I think at best it was 50-50. I think it probably tilted a little bit heavy 49ers yesterday. I don't think it was 70-30, but it was 55-45, something like that maybe. But I knew 3 hours before that game, this is going to be different inside that building just with the amount of 49er fans that were milling around.
So a couple things on that. Number one, on the TV broadcast, listen, you can see it, you can feel it, you can hear it. There's certain downs that tell a story, right? If the Rams have the ball on third down and the crowd is going crazy, you're like, what the hell is going on here? That's not supposed to happen at your home stadium. Mm-hmm. They kept saying it on the broadcast yesterday on Fox. Aikman mentioned it a couple times. Wow, you can really hear these Niner fans. And Trav, I do think that that's part of the story of the game yesterday. If you're a Niner fan at SoFi Stadium, I think you impacted the game a little bit, because when you're down 17-0 and then all of a sudden you get that field goal right before the half ended and then you walk into the third quarter and it's 17-10, you can feel the momentum changing, and part of that has to do with the crowd. So if you're a Rams fan out there, let's not – how many times have we made fun of the Chargers having games at SoFi Stadium? Mm-hmm. By the way, 50-50, I don't agree with that. That sounded 60-40 to me, more 49er fans than it was Rams fans. And I bring it up because I think that tells part of the story of what happened in the game yesterday.
That's
I think
why
that
it was
fan
so
impacted the game.
I agree with you. I agree with everything you said. What was so surprising to me is the Rams have made such incredible progress in the 6 years that they've been here. From when they first showed up, it was as often as not just as many as the visiting fans as it was the Rams fans the first few years. And then it changed. And this year at SoFi, Rams fans have been amazing. Absolutely amazing. That place is
– and the team is good. They're excited. They're star players. Yep.
How many times have you heard me mention the environment inside that place? It's just – it's fantastic. It's loud. It's exciting. Rams fans are super fired up. That's why yesterday was such a surprise. That even before – it wasn't just, hey, as the game started – from before the game started, it was pretty impressive with how the 49ers rolled out their fans. They did. There's no two ways about it. They did a very, very good job with it. Let's go to Burbank this time and Roger. Roger, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up, Roger?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I think Brandon Staley should be fired. Nobody can be that dumb. I mean, even the announcers, Al Michael and Chris Collins, where everybody said, what? Even the Raiders said what? Who called that timeout? I got to think it's no way that Brandon Staley can be that dumb. If he's that dumb, he should be fired. Either another coach or a player called that timeout, and he's falling on the sword. He's taking – and another thing I thought, guys, isn't it ironic that John Madden passed away and two of the most historic endings, the Immaculate Reception in Pittsburgh and the Holy Roller down in San Diego, were teams that could be affected by this ending. And I think John Madden called that timeout. That looks like something John Madden would have did, because that nobody in the whole universe, because outside of blatantly taking a knee, Oakland had decided that, okay, let's tie it. And then the coach, I mean.
Well, Roger, let me interrupt you, and I appreciate you calling in. Why are you surprised? Have you guys not watched this guy coach all season? I mean – a coach should not get this much run and this much conversation unless you're a coach that's done something in the league, unless you're a coach that's won a Super Bowl, unless you're a coach that has accomplished an incredible amount. A coach that has not done anything and has been a head coach in the NFL for 15 minutes should not be talked about this much unless you make idiotic mistakes, and he did. There's no other way to put it. Can we squeeze in another quick one here?
I just want to throw in one quick thing here.
Yep.
I think that he brought up a very good point, Roger did, when all of a sudden everybody on the announcing team and everybody in their living room and everybody – they cut to that Steeler fan at the end right there, and the Steeler fan knew, like, they're going to take a damn knee. This game's over. Mm-hmm. And then they called a time, and Collinsworth immediately went – whoa, what happened here? Like, it was one of those decisions. It's not a second guess. It was the second they called it, everyone, this is a terrible idea, and it was.
Trev, 4th and 1 at your own 17.
Awful.
You're going for it.
Awful.
I mean, that's why the overtime timeout, listen, I think that one – I get the why that one's being blown out of proportion, but I also think if the Raiders were just going to run the ball anyways, and they got the difference is the Raiders got a good gain out of it, and then all of a sudden it was like, okay, well
now
kind of have to kick a field goal.
You're going to make it now,
right?
So short of something, but 54 or 55 yards, that's yep. You have to drive it low. You have to do all of those things that bring a block into play. It
fourth.
Was.
And one at your 17. Tell me what coach in the NFL is making that call.
Absolutely nobody. Let's try one more quick one here. Let's go to Rancho Cucamonga, the 909. Brian in Rancho Cucamonga. What's up, Brian?
Hey, what's happening, fellas? Hey, so, you know, we talk about that last end of the Rams game during regulation where McVay chose to run it three times. You guys think he's losing faith in Stafford? I mean, I think he didn't want to put Stafford in a position to throw another pick like he did to end that game. And, you know, granted, they did all this work to trade for him, but I got to think that maybe McVay was afraid of what his quarterback might do in that situation.
Brian, appreciate you calling in. Can I say this, Trav? First of all, I don't think that was the case. But if you're in that position and you are worried about Stafford throwing a pick or making a mistake, bro, the season's over. I mean, if I don't know what to tell you. If you're already in a regular season game with all you need is a first down to end the game, you're going to close the season on a six-game winning streak, you're going to get the number two seed, and you're worried about your quarterback making a mistake in that situation, Trav, what are we talking about?
Well, I'm going to two things here. You've heard me say this a million times. So first of all, I did not have a problem with him running it three times. I thought it was an acceptable decision. I'm okay with the criticism that you're giving him and other people are. I'm okay with it. But Jimmy G, 80-plus yards, 85 seconds, no timeouts, I'll take my chances.
Stafford, Cooper Kupp, one first down.
No, you're right. I'm just saying that there is a flip side to that, too. I'm okay with what he did. But I've also said this to you 1,000 times, Al. Don't tell me, show me. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me what you like and don't like and trust and don't trust. Show me that they didn't. I think there's, you know, I'm not saying that he doesn't. I'm just saying it wasn't one of those. Because, look, you can have that play. Listen,
yeah,
we're going to throw it here. Mm-hmm. But the only thing that can happen is an incomplete pass or it goes to our guy. Are we clear? Those are the only two options. It cannot. Anything else is bad news. That they didn't even put that in there, I don't know. I'm just saying I don't want to hear it. I want to see it, and they ran it three times.
How could both coaches in L.A. be so opposite in their decisions within a span of 8 hours?
Yeah.
Well, like, just think about that. Think about McVay.
The difference, though, is McVay's playing a week from today.
Well, no, but
McVay's team's playing a week from today.
There's no question
Brandon
about
Staley's
that.
Brandon Staley's is 10 times worse.
But I'm saying that think about how incredibly conservative one coach was in a big-time moment and now another coach. But we're at our own 17. It's what we do. We go for it. I don't know why I keep using that voice.
Out. I wonder right, where he's time, playing golf today.
It's time for the Stat Hero 36? Weekend
you
Hero.
You play 36 the first day after you get eliminated? Or
when's training camp start? When's training camp start?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, guys.
Hey, I'm.
To say that I wasn't to blame for both the Rams and the Lakers loss, that might be
cap. This is a great story. This is great. Tell the story.
Explain how
real
you
quick,
blew
please.
It for okay. The city of Los Angeles last night.
Okay. So, for anybody who's sad about the losses, you can blame me. So, yesterday I worked the Rams game, but I have to do the post game from the studio. So, I usually leave about half, maybe a little bit before half. So, I left the Rams game right when Jalen Ramsey. Had the interception. I was like, this game's done. I'll listen to the radio on the way in. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great post game. That's
Taylor Rapp's
when
interception, you mean, not Ramsey's, because Ramsey's was super late.
Yes, Rapp's interception.
Yeah,
yes, Rapp's interception. So I was like, oh, this is easy. So, and then Rams start losing essentially right when I leave. And so that's great. So then I had plans to go to the Laker game after because it kind of worked out. Just, you know, Laker game would start when the Rams game is over. So I missed the first quarter because the Rams game went to overtime. So I get to the Laker game at second quarter. I stay for the second and third quarter where the Grizzlies proceeded to score 80 points.
80 points.
In the time. 81?
38. Okay. No, 80 points. 30. Okay. 38 in the second quarter, 42 in the third quarter, and you
right.
were there for that portion.
Right, and then I left at the start of the fourth quarter to beat traffic. So
the Lakers outscored them by 16.
Exactly. So if anybody is mad about anything that happened, you can sorely blame it on me. So
yes.
I am sorry to the city of Los Angeles. First up. So Taylor, when we were working together yesterday, said that he hates sweatpants and says that they are uncomfortable. So sweatpants are the best form of clothing. Travis, is his fact or cap?
Fact. Because here's the difference. Here's what Taylor, and looking at Taylor, I get the sense that he's not going to have this problem probably ever, but he's certainly not going to have this problem anytime soon. Taylor is tall and thin. Let me explain to you, Taylor, while jeans, while they might work for you, don't work for, say, oh, I don't know, Travis Rogers, for instance. The waistband on jeans are not nearly as forgiving as the waistband on your favorite pair of sweatpants. So if you have a bad week or month or decade, and all of a sudden you're throwing on those sweatpants, it feels a lot better. I believe it or not, there was a day, Taylor, when 501s were my go-to pair of pants. I was able to go and fire through 501s, no problem, piece of cake, and I think I was 17. So, yeah, sweatpants are
17.
the best form of clothing. Yes, fact.
All right, so here's the only problem with sweatpants. Anytime I have them on, I feel like I'm sick or I'm unemployed. Like, I feel like there's, like, a combination
Thank
of the
you.
Two.
Or and got the booster.
Yeah. Yes. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, like right now, let's use it as an example. We're doing the shows from home. It's not like I'm going out and putting on jeans and boots and saying, let's get the day started. No, I look like I'm unemployed, so I understand that. But I think it fits a certain time when you put them on. But, man, is it good to take them off and you feel like you're worth something. The longer I have sweatpants on, the more I question where I'm going in life.
You can't wear them all day. That's the key. You can start the day with them. You can finish the day with them. But you need to have on something that's not sweats at some point in the middle of the day for all the reasons Al mentioned. So you feel like a member of society.
Society. That's all. We just want to be a member of society.
So I don't know if you guys have seen this, but the trailer for the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reboot just came out, and it's kind of taking a more dramatic side to what happened. So it's still funny, but there are some more dramatic elements of it. So, Alan, you know, this is your favorite show. There's a limit to how many nostalgic shows you can watch. Is this, Alan, is this a fact or cap?
So I'm not good at these. Usually if there's a show that I absolutely loved, you try to go make it again, I'm probably not going to watch it. And this is – I'll give this one a shot.
You won't even sample it?
No, I'll give it a shot. So I think there's some curiosity, but usually they don't reel me in. So if it was Saved by the Bell and then you try Saved by the Bell later, I'm probably not all in. We do – you know, Cobra Kai is a good example of like that. Well, you're using the same characters. So that kind of is a – that's an interesting way they're using it, but they're also introducing all these young new characters. So – they're bringing in different audiences. We were talking about that last week, Trav, where this is unique because you're grabbing 15-year-olds
and
25, but you're also grabbing, 50-year-olds. I'll give this one a shot, but I'm right out the gate, I'm suspicious that it's going to be good. It's almost like you're starting a game already 2-3 points behind.
Yeah, this is cap for me. I liked Fresh Prince, but it wasn't like my show. So that they're rebooting that, I don't have a ton of interest in it. So I'll always kind of dip my toe in it. I mentioned this to you last. The 90210 reboot, I was thrilled with because they had all of the original cast. I was super excited for it. Just wasn't very good. So after a few episodes, I'm out. It is very hard to do what Cobra Kai has done, which is take old characters, make them new and exciting and interesting all over again. 9 out of 10 times, these things don't work.
So it's getting to postseason, and your team may have been eliminated. Thankfully, mine was not. I'm a Steelers fan, so I was not rooting for that tie yesterday. So if your team gets eliminated from the playoffs, you find a bandwagon team. Travis's is Thatcher Cap.
Cap. I've got my teams, right? I root for the Dodgers. When the Dodgers get eliminated, I don't all of a sudden become an Atlanta Braves fan. I'll watch the games because I'm a sports fan, but I can't really bounce around like that. If the Lakers get out, I don't all of a sudden say, well, you know, I like Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. I do like those guys, but I'm not rooting for the Warriors in any meaningful way. I got my squads, and that's it. I'm not really going to all of a sudden say, well, we got two more weeks of the postseason. I got to have something. I'm going to watch, but I'm not going to really root for anybody.
All right, so I think this is actually let me try to find the right way to describe it. If my squad is gone, I'm not going to go buy another team's hat and saying, well, that's, you know, I've been cheering for them for like a week. Now the Raiders are a complete exception to the rule here.
Your Al Davis face tattoo says differently, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, people know how long the ups and downs I've gone through with the Raiders. I mean, where were we just a week ago, right? But I think in this case, 100%, I will have games this weekend in the NFL where I'm rooting for a team. You know what I mean? And that could be just based on, well, that's the underdog or whatever the case is. Every single game I find myself, tonight, Alabama's playing Georgia. What tie-in do I have to this game? I'll root for Georgia. I want to see anybody but Alabama win. I find myself in those positions a lot. And like you said, Trav, maybe it's not the team that you were rooting for, but maybe you find – why was I rooting for Utah over Ohio State? I can't tell you why, but I was. I always find kind of an angle based on something.
Can I offer a confession? Is there, we're in a safe space here, all the listeners, you, me, Emily, Taylor, can I confess something?
Yep, only LA Radio.
I've come around and done a complete 180 on Nick Saban. I used to look at him and be like, this guy, can't stand him. He's a weirdo. He's screaming his lungs out. They're up 50 points. There's 3 seconds left in the fourth quarter, and he's screaming at an official. Like, what are we doing with this guy? He's a lunatic. I can't get enough. What he has done with that team – that it's they're playing for the national championship for the 9th time since he's been there. That's stupid. I mean, that just defies explanation. And the excellence which he achieves every single year, while he does it in a very peculiar kind of antisocial way, I'm all in on Saban all of a sudden. Well, I did a complete 180.
Here's the thing. I think when you go against these squads, I wanted Tom Brady to lose every year when he was
with
the Patriots.
I still do.
I was actually, last season, I was almost in a sense like, okay, hey, if he wins it, he wins it. But it doesn't mean you don't respect them. It doesn't mean I don't respect, you know, Saban and what Alabama's done. I just, you know, want them to lose. That's all.
Absolutely.
All right, guys, one last one. I know we're all huge fans, but The Sopranos premiered on this day in 1999. So, Sopranos is the best TV show of all time. Travis, this is Factor Cap.
Gosh, I'm going to hate myself for saying this. It's Cap, but not really. If you say it's fact, you're not wrong either. It is on the short list for me of greatest television shows I've ever seen. It's probably number 3 on my list. I'm a Mad Men guy. I absolutely love Mad Men. That's my favorite TV show of all time. Like dramedies, like prestige TV. And then number 2 is The Wire, but Sopranos is just superior and excellent and awesome. If you like it number 1, I have no problem with that, but I'm a Mad Men guy number 1 spot.
So this is Cap for me too. Sopranos is great, like you just said. The Wire is my favorite show of all time. And I got caught up in that thing, and it was so creatively done, and I really, really liked the characters, and it, you know, was more it kind of took you into the life of like the regular people, and then it took you into the life of what it's like behind the scenes. I mean, it was very unique. The Sopranos, as good as it was a prolonged mob movie, which are always fantastic, and I will watch any mob movie at any time. The Wire kind of took me into a different world, so I'm gonna go.
You know what? You know what's great about The Sopranos? That's kind of under. I don't know if it's underrated, but it's not the first thing we mention when we talk about it.
Yep.
It's hilarious. There are so many scenes and lines that are just side-splittingly funny and not on purpose. Sometimes they're done intentionally, but other times it's just the performances, the dialogue that are just so unbelievable. But 23 years ago, you're old, Al. that you've aged this much since Soprano comes out should kind of depress you a little bit.
100%. It's a bad deal.
All right. Yep. We've talked a lot of coaches. Sean McVay, his decision-making yesterday. Brandon Staley's deal. Hope he, what do you think? He's on like the third hole right now? You think he's probably getting a hot dog at the turn? But he's got plenty of
what
time.
What draft pick do they have?
Oh, that we're not. We got ways to go with that. He's on vacation. No playoffs to worry about. Combine's a long way away. Draft's a long way away. He's probably thinking, do I get the hot dog or do I get the turkey sandwich at the turn? Because he's got nothing but free time right now. But what about Rich Bisaccia? Does he come back for another year? Did he earn himself a contract with the Raiders? That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. And so I mentioned to you, Al, that Gil, the UPS driver, and his daughter, Sophia, I threw a few passes with them, dropped one at the beginning of the game, met two different Jonathans within the span of about 5 minutes. One guy was selling concessions. I was walking back from the restroom. Hey, Trav, and came over, got to talk with Jonathan there a little bit. The other Jonathan, also working at the stadium, got a chance to chat him up a little bit. Tony P., Ash, Aaron, who I ran into at the parking lot at Hollywood Park Casino. Where's Slee? They were asking. And then a couple. I got to see Angel and Lisa. They stopped by as well. So it was a good day for Alan Sliwa. Even though you weren't there, people wanted to know where you were.
I think you're more approachable because, yeah, you know, listen, I'm at Crypto.com Arena. No one's coming up and saying, hey, Al, how are you doing? It's pretty much I think they like you more. And I think you're the bridge to saying hello to me without actually somebody coming up to me and saying hello.
Maybe that's what it is. Steven, a 49er fan, even came by and pimped me a little bit towards the end of the post-game show. And then Vince came by as well. He goes all the way back to the days with Kelvin. So we got some longtime ESPN 710 listeners. It was good to see him. Congratulations to Nick in Rancho Cucamonga. He won the two passes to see
Attaboy, Nick.
The Genesis Invitational coming up next month. It's a great event. Have you gotten a chance to go, Al, out to Riv when they're playing the tournament?
Been out to Riv so many times. No, I have not.
You got to go. Honestly, it is such a good day. If you like sports, even if you're not a huge golf guy, if you like sporting events, it's beautiful. It's historic. You can have a few beers. You can have a hot dog. It gets incredibly exciting at the end. It is a fantastic day. So the Genesis Invitational coming up next month. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance is proud to support vets with its annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program, now celebrating 9 years of donating vehicles, helping vets in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. Brandon Staley, you want his head on a stick. You want to fire him. That's what you brought up today. Sean McVay. Had a couple of decisions yesterday that were head scratchers.
Called him a coward.
You called him a coward. Called McVay a coward.
Yep.
Mine was, hey, that was a weird call. You're a coward. You were going in a different direction.
Can't what play about, not to lose.
I don't think he was. I think he was playing conservatively.
He did. I disagree with that.
They did lose. No, you're right about that. But I don't think he was playing to not lose. I think he thought the better option was to make Jimmy G go 85 yards with a minute and 20 seconds with no timeouts.
Why does that change?
To put the ball in the air.
But why does that change by not also going for the first down? Why can't you do both?
Because you can throw an interception. It stops the clock. They don't have to use a timeout. Mm-hmm. You make it significantly more difficult by not throwing the ball there.
Disagree.
How? How does not throwing the ball make it easier for them?
Because there wasn't 40 seconds left on the clock. There was enough time.
It was a minute and 27 seconds, Hal.
I get it. But there
no
was
timeouts.
Enough.
Jimmy Garoppolo. That's not Tom Brady back
I understand
there.
It. I understand it. There's enough time on the clock that even if you go three and out, you're still giving him $130, $120 to drive the ball. I was more confident in we can control we can determine the game right here, the ball in our hands. Why the hell did you go trade for Matt Stafford then? Cooper Kupp, we're about to do the stat hero of the day, and it's Cooper Kupp. The guy became the fourth player in the Super Bowl era, so since 1970, to achieve receiving the Triple Crown, so leading the league in all three categories. Obviously, incredibly elite Jerry Rice, Sterling Sharp, and Steve Smith back in 2005.
Never heard of them.
Trev, can you ask for a more ideal position?
Al, you, that point, I think is a great point. I don't have a good here's why. The point.
Thank you. Change the topic then.
You went to get Matthew Stafford and have Cooper Kupp. Why can't you? I got nothing for you on that. That's a good point. But your idea this was that it was cowardice and he was trying not to lose.
It was.
I'm not going that far. I think it was a decision to put Jimmy G in a what Emily, what was the number? Was it like a 0.4% chance when they punted that ball away to the Rams? 0.4 away, and he I get it. It hit.
What was point? Wait, say it again. Say what was point
so
four?
So when the
this
Niners,
was in the first half, correct?
No. When the Rams decided to punt, when the 49ers decided to punt.
Yep.
Okay, remember the Rams scored a go ahead 7 at the end of the game. The Niners get the ball back. They go 3 and out, right? At that point, you were saying, Staley would have gone for it on 4th and 20 or whatever.
What is it? No,
when the Niners punted that ball away, their odds of winning that game were 0.4% chance. Okay? And so wind the clock further, take away their timeouts, it drops even more. That was the odds that Sean McVay was playing. It blew up in his face. It didn't work. I have no answer for it was the right decision. I'm just saying I understand the logic in going through it. Just because a decision you make doesn't work doesn't mean it's a bad decision. It didn't work. The Niners here's something we haven't said all day real quick.
Okay.
And then the Niners were terrific in the second half. We can talk about Sean McVay's decisions. We can talk about Matt Stafford throwing an interception at the end of the game, which was terrible. The Niners in the second half of that game yesterday were terrific. They won that game. I do not think the Rams lost it.
Stat Hero, the exclusive daily fantasy app partner of the Travis and Sliwa Show. Stat Hero is the first ever daily fantasy sports book that gives a player the advantage. Go to stathero.com/710ESPN for a 100% deposit match. Trev. Sometimes we'll go back and forth on a topic, and it's like neither I'm not going to be able to convince you, and you're not going to be able to convince me. I really scratch my head to what you just said, that the Niners won the game and the Rams didn't lose the game.
Yeah,
bro, they were up 17-0.
Exactly.
They didn't
lose because they didn't turn it over a million times. They got stops when they needed it. Jalen Ramsey made a game-winning play.
Then they
were
up by a touchdown in the scenario that you talked about. That's not just the Niners winning the game.
Yes, it is.
The Rams lost the freaking game and had opportunities to win the game.
The Niners took it.
Come
on. The Niners were the better team yesterday. The Niners were the better football team yesterday. The Rams.
They had a better second half.
Yeah.
Then the Rams. Rams had opportunities in that first half to close out the game.
That's different. I'm with you.
There are decisions that were made from the Rams that also put the Niners in a position to think that they had an opportunity to win that game.
The one in the first half, I'm with you 100%. That's what we talked about at the beginning of the show. The decision to run a play out of an empty backfield on 3rd and 1, I have no explanation. That was a terrible decision. I thought it gave them all the momentum. But in the second half, the Rams got their ass kicked. They did not blow it. They got beat. There's a big difference between those two things. That's not you're getting rid in anything, Al. I don't think so. Because the Rams, look, when it was tied, right? When it's tied at 17.
Yep.
And San Francisco's driving, right? Jalen Ramsey makes that bonkers interception.
I thought that was the game right there.
So did
I. Even if the Niners just get a field goal, that momentum is all with the San Francisco 49ers.
Couldn't agree
and there
more.
Were 94% Niner fans at SoFi.
The Rams didn't just turn around and give it right back to them and score. They went down and drove the field and scored a touchdown. It was an incredible drive. The Rams didn't blow it. The decision, it's a questionable decision, but they didn't have a fumble at the end. They didn't do any of these things. The pick at the end, that's kind of a desperate, it was a bad throw, don't get me wrong. But I really feel like the 49ers beat them soundly in the second half. I did not feel like the Rams gave them that game at all. The Niners were better in the second half.
Let's do this. We'll throw it out to if you're a Ram fan out there and you want to comment on this game. Of course, the Chargers game. Of course, the Raider game and the way that all went down. 877-710-ESPN. I genuinely couldn't disagree more, especially on that last drive or at least the play calling from it. You can give us your thoughts on that. Plus, we haven't even talked about the Lakers. Trav, we're at the halfway point of the season. The Lakers are halfway through the season. They're 21-20, and Ja Morant had probably the greatest block I've ever seen yesterday. Yeah.
That we can agree on.
Yeah, that one we can agree on. We can do all that coming up next. Stay right here. It's the Travis and Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.